This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. And every Monday, we've got someone from Leadernomics. Well, we've got the man himself, Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics. Happy New Year. It's never too late to say that. Yep. Today, our topic is on reinventing training for the 21st century. And training, as we know, it may be obsolete and a waste of time. Okay. Before that, I guess, you know, along the way, if you've got any questions, you can always WhatsApp us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. If you've got comments, thoughts, questions, anything, just let us know. So anyway, why do you say that training is obsolete?
Yeah, so I got to tell you a few stories. Okay. Because, I mean,
of course.
I always have stories, right? So, you know, a couple of months ago, I was working on this research project. So I went to the UK and I met someone over dinner. And, you know, we somehow started the conversation. So, you know how a conversation goes, started drifting to education. And then before long, he was moaning about how awful, you know, these training programs. I mean, me being the guy in training, he started complaining to me that, you know, your training... Not ours, but some training program that he subjected his company to. The trainer was very engaging, but somehow he thought it was an absolute waste of time because he said so much more important work to do. And somehow when they did that training, you know, they go back, didn't seem to have too much of a impact, right? So story number two, again, another CEO, a couple weeks ago, I think this one was at Bangsar Shopping Centre, so not in the UK, large company. He says to me, you know, all this training waste of time, right? He said all this training is waste of time. So I'm like, okay. And he assumed that I would be, you know, upset, right? Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. Okay. And as we started talking about it, right, he said, you know, he spends a lot of money sending his employees to training, but he doesn't see the classroom piece being effective. In fact, he was asking me, what can I do, you know, differently? Mm. What, you know, give me some, you know, different type of things that will help employees, because employees find it very boring, you know, listening to someone. And a lot of employees are now what I call later I'll talk about the goldfish effect. We have the attention span of a goldfish. So it's very hard to sit for 8 hours, 12, you know, 10 hours and listen to someone. And some of it is very impractical. It doesn't help everybody. And so he was like, give me a solution to this conundrum. And the third story is about a month, November, I was invited by HRDF to speak at their trainers conference. We got 400-500 trainers coming in. I wanted to say no because I'm like, I'm hearing all this issues with training, and then I said, look, I must brave this and go and tell them what my perspective is on why I think the whole training function itself, we have to reinvent it, especially classroom-based pieces, because it has come to a point where people don't have the attention span, nor do they have the desire or the validity of enabling 40 people to want to be attracted to the same piece of content or be able to apply the same piece is totally gone. I mean, at this point in time.
So, okay. So then walk us through your case for change. Why change now?
Okay. So
New Year, ma.
Yeah. And it's not just that, I mean, if you just compare, just look at all kinds of things. Let's take transportation, for example. So, you know, about 400 years ago, you got horses and carriages. I mean, then came bicycles. And then, you know, fast forward, we started to have the first cars coming in. And then soon there was trains, and then there was planes, and then motorbikes and all kinds of things. So, you know, if you look at cars, right, not only cars itself, right, the first car model, you know, early cars, and then Model T came, you know, the mass car came about. And today you have driverless car by Google. So even cars, right? I mean, don't talk about the industry, but cars itself has evolved from what it was to a complete different, you know, piece of what it is. Look at the communication industry, right? So originally, we always send letters, I guess. Maybe there were smoke signals in the start. And then it was pigeons sending letters. And then it was the Pony Express. And then you had, you know, postal service that came about, and even that evolved, right? I mean, postal service evolved into today. We don't really use postal service. I mean, you've got the phone that came in, you've got radio, you've got so many devices, and then today is email, Skype, to stay connected. So everything's evolved in a very, you know, almost evolutionary, it's evolved in a very major way, right? Every industry, you know, bar none. But look at the education space, right? So you see a photograph of a Harvard educational class 400 years ago, or a corporate training program 100 years ago, you still see pictures of people sitting in a classroom listening to somebody talk. And there's very little, you know, okay, like maybe there's some, so I must say that.
There's some online training going on right now.
Right. But there's some, I mean, but you look at the core the bulk of what training is, and again, I'm talking about classroom specifically. Okay. Yes, there's some changes. There's LCD projectors, so we don't have the, you know, the stuff. There's air conditioning. There's other cool gadgets, and sometimes there's a teacher and there's a listener and so on. But generally, classroom training has not evolved, and really that's what I want to talk about today. Like, it's really about, you know, how. I think it's time for us to relook at education, you know, across the board.
Okay, so you're not talking about just training in corporate organizations, but also in schools.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's wonderful I've seen in a lot of education, especially you see in international schools, and you see that schools and universities, although they're struggling to adapt to this new future workplace that they're trying to create, they're starting to see some, they're starting to, you know, have some changes. But at the same time, the corporate space is very much replicating what's happening in the school, right? So because corporate training is essentially saying, okay, here's what our professor teaches in the university. We're going to take that concept and teach it here. You know, whether it's a business school, you know, almost all corporate training. But if you look at the school space, one of the famous authors I really like is Seth Godin, and he wrote a really good book. I mean, if it's a free book, actually, if you can download. I downloaded it a couple of years ago, Stop Stealing Dreams. And in his books, he says that schools must try and reinvent, and among them is, you know, and I think a number of, like, the Finland Education Group, and I mean the Finland Education System, and Singapore, I think, and a couple of others are trying to replicate some of these things. So things like homework during the day and lectures at night, open book, open note all the time, access to any course anywhere in the world, precise focused instruction instead of mass generalized instruction, no more multiple choice exams, usage of experience instead of test scores as a measure of achievement, at the end of compliance as an outcome, cooperation instead of isolation, because again, our teaching education is very, very isolation based or individual based rather than cooperation based, but workspace, it's very collaborative, right? So amplification of outlying students, teachers and ideas, transformation of the role of teachers. So you can see that schools and universities are starting to replicate that, right? But then the big question is, at corporate education and training, is how do we transform this space? And I think there's a big need to transform training. And I suggest three things that need to happen. And there are many others, right? Yeah. But three things that I think have to be embedded quickly into our education of employees. And these three things is number one is micro-learning, or what I call bite-sized learning. Second one is technology-based learning. And the last one is making learning a daily practice, the culture of learning. And I think if we get these three embedded into the corporate space, we will start to see a huge transformation in this space.
Okay, so talk us through micro-learning. What does that mean?
Yeah. So, okay, I mentioned that humans before had a attention span as a goldfish. And this is research conducted by Microsoft with Canadian researchers. And they concluded that people now generally lose concentration after 8 seconds, highlighting the efforts of an increasingly digitized lifespan on the brain. Right, so the goldfish has a attention span of 12 seconds. So we are essentially, you know,
4 seconds
less of an attention span. So now think about this, right?
Yeah.
So if you attend training, right, and you have to listen to some, or anyone, I mean, you have to listen to the talk. I mean, even online, right?
Yeah.
And you
even
say,
radio. Pay attention.
there's two people talking for 40 minutes, and so, you know, it's and you got an 8 seconds attention span, right? Uh-huh. There needs to be some, you know, there might need to be some repercussions for learning, right? The way we teach, right? If you know that you have this much of an attention span, so you can push it a little bit, but can you really push it for 8 hours? You know, I mean, imagine if you have a 1 day class or a 2 day class, right? So I think that we consume information and we learn in many, many days. I mean, if you think about it, right, we consume news digitally, right? We get a small burst of news from WhatsApp messages, from Instagram, from Facebook. We get emails from colleagues. I mean, this is kind of the 8 seconds that we're getting this and that, and we browse the internet daily, and we get micro pieces of learning, right? And so when I say micro learning, right, one of the things is we have to start looking at traditional learning and saying, how can we move to giving people stuff just in time, you know, as they need it, in small bursts, you know, and this bite-sized or micro-sized learning. And I think if you really look at classroom training, the retention, right, of listening to somebody, after 3 months, imagine 100% was delivered very effectively, even very effective learning that was delivered, only 10% is retained after 3 months, right? So we lose 90% of all the stuff that we've delivered in the classroom, right? So I don't think people are opposed to learning. I mean, I think the issue is not that we, I find this a lot with the younger generation. They just don't want to sit in the classroom for so long. They want to get away from work, but when it comes to classroom, every trainer has its flaw and so on and so forth. But so what we need to do is we need to figure out how to segment learning into little bite sizes and allow people to learn on their own terms. Now, digital learning is one way. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But it can also mean it can happen in a classroom. So let's say I take an 8-hour classroom program, and this is what we're doing now. We're pioneering this with a number. So instead of say, and people are very busy from 9 to 5, right? So I said, look, let's a small group of 6 of us who all have about the same level. Because you go to a classroom of 20 people, right? What happens is 6 of them are of, you know, far intellectual superiority, you know, and the 6 are really like can't get the basic stuff.
Right.
And then you have the middle group, and you probably have another group of mixed people.
Wait, I wouldn't say it's just at different stages
of learning. Absolutely. Of learning, right? So some is at an elementary stage or what we say a beginner stage, and some is at an expert or almost at a contextualization.
Basic, intermediate, advanced.
Advanced or I mean, you can also, so it's a contextualizing. So you got different stages. So when you have a classroom, what happens is the teacher tends to teach to the median. Right. So when you say bite-sized learning, you say, okay, let's cordon a group of 5-6 people who are about the same level in terms of their learning and the need for what they need to learn. And we can basically break down bite-sized. So instead of doing a 3-hour, 5-hour, 10-hour, we look for an hour. Can we learn a quick piece of content for maybe 5 minutes? And then let's contextualize the content within the 6 of us in our own experience.
Yeah.
And you may have, you know, little like fellowship groups or pastoral groups that really study a piece of content. And what happens is now the moment you go back, right, you're not, see, in 8 hours, right, you end up studying so many things. But when you go back to the office, you can only apply 1 or 2 things. And then probably 3 weeks later, another thing, right? So instead of that, this becomes a little bit more, okay, in the next 2-3 days, we're going to grapple with this issue. How do we fix this issue and how do we learn about this? So that next day or even that afternoon, you know, let's say they do an hour, that afternoon they're able to apply it and start to solidify, because learning becomes solidified when you practice it, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
And you're saying as well, you know, when it's a big classroom and you're relating to the median group, then it will still be a challenge for those people who are at the lower end and not being able to grasp it, and the high end will find it boring.
Boring, absolutely, yeah. And that's what happens in most classrooms, right? Because we you see, you always teach to the mass. So if you have a class, about 10 will be at the mass or the median, you know. So you'd have 5 and 5 who are either lost or bored. And it's very tough because it's not the trainer's fault. It's really the structural issues. And ultimately, you'd have varying feedback. So that's why you always have this bell curve of a feedback. You know, some like, oh, this is the most fantastic thing in the world. And some are like, I don't get it, you know.
Okay.
So that's really what we say about bite-sized learning. And it can be very creative. It can be, I can throw stuff to you in the morning and then I can contextualize it in the afternoon and then evening I can close it out and see how you fared. So it then becomes something that's very relevant to what you do and where you're doing it and how you're doing it.
And I guess it goes back to what's that term again? People always say experiential in a way. You know, I think people also need to be, you know, people are tactile and you need to hold it.
It's experiential and it's also contextualizing. I mean, I think that's very important because a lot of us, a lot of times, especially our, you know, the millennials, they say, oh, I want to go for training, right? But the best, I mean, all of us, I think the best way we've learned is really doing the stuff at work. And sometimes we get ideas from outside, but really the application of those ideas have to happen at the classroom. And if you look, even the olden days, it was like this, you know, because you had a master and you had an apprentice, or you had a sifu and you had a student, you know, you had a kung fu karate, you know. So and it is always at the apprentice, you know, even Star Wars, right? You had the Padawan and the Jedi. But it's always that way. And what will happen is the master would give a little bit of, you know, practice.
Yes.
Here. You know, and for somehow we tried to mass it.
Yeah.
And when we tried to mass it, it worked. Because at one point in time, the jobs were similar. Okay, let's mass it. But today we have a very creative, you know, society is, you know, it's moved that I have the information. What I need is the application. What I need is the contextualization. And I think we have to go back to that old model.
The wax on, wax off. We'll talk about then moving on to technology-based learning. What does that mean? In just a moment, I'm here with Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics talking about how training as we know it may be obsolete and a waste of time. Again, any feedback, just WhatsApp us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics here. Talking about training, as we know, it may be obsolete and a waste of time. Any questions or comments, WhatsApp us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You know, you were saying the three things that we needed to look at, and we discussed micro-learning a little early on, and then you talk about technology-based learning. So in this case, what do you mean?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we struggle in businesses is about how do we optimize productivity. And there's a lot of different demands on employees today to optimize their time to deliver results and output for the organization, especially now in challenging times. I mean, you look at... And I think what happens is a lot of CEOs, they frown on training session because it takes their foot soldiers away from their outposts and into a classroom. In the hope that they become better at what they do. But sometimes it is, sometimes it is that. And I think this drive for productivity has to be replicated in the learning space or this training space. The answer is got to be technology, right? Mm. So one of the things that Leadernomics we're starting to pioneer is this learning management system where enabling people to learn anytime, anywhere, any place, right? But... And it can be done virtually, you know. There's autonomy for learners to learn anywhere. There's elements of video, there's audio, there's text, there's different styles that's incorporated. You know, there's augmented reality, there's virtual role plays, there's tech-based. So you have that, right? And what I think we have started to realize is that that is one piece. The other piece is mobile, right? Because if you start to look at learning, right, most of us are now... very, very, very dependent on mobile. And mobile penetration has skyrocketed to crazy levels, right? And there's a study by this guy, this group called Brandon Hall. They did an analysis study and they found that more than 50% of companies in the world, right, across the world, are starting to relook at their learning or their training strategy. And the reason is because mobile has now transformed how companies work, interact, collaborate, and learn, right? However, only 10% of all companies are using mobile learning solutions because it's very infant stage. And the problem is there is a need for us to understand context and content. And okay. I'll explain that in a little bit, right? So what happens is that we really learn very well, and one of the problems with technology is that we say, look, I learn the best when I have human-to-human interaction, right? The problem is when you throw them a video or you throw them something like this, I can understand, but I cannot really apply. And so I cannot contextualize.
We're not
short
of content.
Correct.
But how do I use this content?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we must understand that we need to figure out how to use technology in the right way. And here's the problem. So many times we think that we can take the entire learning ecosystem and digitize it. It can't be done. What we can do is we start to understand that about 50% of people's learning, so it's stages, right? So I look at five stages. So you start at a knowledge information stage, and then you become awareness, and then you get skill, and then you become advanced skill, and then you become expert. So this is how your learning curve sort of works, right? So you start at an information stage, you know, the entry level. So I'm just getting information. So I want to learn a bike. Okay, I must learn about bicycles and this. Then I start to get awareness. Oh, that's how it looks. Oh, you know, and I jump on it. And then I start to develop skill. So I start pedaling and I fall down and soon because of that I get advanced skill and now I can really race. And then suddenly during a race I slammed my brakes, I flew up and I fell down. Oh, okay. So I realized, if I really do that too fast, I will really fly and hurt myself back. So
you got real context there, man.
Right. So advanced skill then becomes expertise, and after a while you know how to hit the brakes, and as I'm going really fast, I don't hit it too fast. I hit it many times, but what happens is now I'm an expert and I can start racing really well, right? I mean, that's typical, and it can be for computers, can be for anything that you learn. It's those five stages. Now, those five stages are split into content and context. So the early stage, in the information stage, the awareness stage, and the basic skill stage, initially information stage, about 90% is content. And then you go down to about 60% is content, and then as you go to basic skill, about 50% is content and 50% is context. But as you go to advanced skill, it becomes, you know, about 20% content and about 80% context.
Right.
As you become an expert, it's about 10% content and about 90% context, right? So what we have to understand is technology-based learning works really well for content-based learning. Meaning, I can look at all my content elements in my learning space, whether it's the information stage, which the bulk of it will be with content, you know, the awareness stage, all the basic skill stage, you know, so about 50-50. But as I go down, I need to figure out, go back to the first thing, the micro-learning, the Sifu teaching, the human interaction becomes very important. So when I say, when people say, we're digitizing our classroom and we are moving, you know, couple companies say, oh, we're moving everything online because that's the way it is. The problem is, there's very many of your employees may be basic skill level, they will never get to expertise level,
right,
because they need role modelings.
Yeah.
They need that coach. They need that extra element. Classroom doesn't help, because what happens in classroom is when one person talks, you tend to get a lot of content.
Mm.
So you can transfer a lot, you know, maybe about 60-70% of classroom into digital, but the balance, the application, the contextualization needs to happen through other forms.
Yeah.
And that's where the technology piece, we need to understand, because a lot of guys, oh yeah, this is great, you know, and a lot of companies are set up, you know, with Coursera, with all these new companies,
yes,
right? And we will just take the entire university piece and move it online. Problem is, you learn, what you really learn, if you really look back at university, it's not so much the content that you learned in university, it's the relationships you had, it's the friends you made, it's the
projects you worked on together,
the collaboration,
yeah,
you know, because when you collaborated, you learned how to work in an office, because you learned, oh, this is how you collaborate,
yeah,
this is how you influence, this is how, so a lot of these things happen. You know, it's what we call the contextualization the content.
I do catch myself, you know, like going for training and all that. And after, okay, great information. This is really great information. How do I use it now? Right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's like, how do I then apply this now? So, I guess when you've got that context, then it really sinks in. And, of course, finally, you mentioned learning as a daily habit.
Yes.
How does that work? We'll discuss that in just a moment. Again, any questions, comments, SMS us. Oh, no. Oh, people don't like the SMS. WhatsApp us at 0162019000. You can SMS us. And tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Racy Game, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Raise Your Game. Frida Liu here, together with Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics. And we're talking about training. As we know, it may be obsolete and a waste of time. You know, you can, any comments, you can WhatsApp us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We were just talking about how this case for change, and three things you talked about was microlearning.
Technology-based.
And now, and of course, daily habit, right?
Yeah.
How does that work, you know, incorporating all that?
So I think daily habit, a lot of it is infrastructural. It means we as a company, we need to figure out how to make learning a daily habit. How can it be not something that once a quarter, once a year,
mm,
or whatever, we send people off to go for training. And I think it's mindset change from both sides. One is the employer have to have this mindset change. I tell you, a lot of HR people are very traditional in that regard. But at the same time, employees need to say, hey, don't ask for training. You know, ask so that you can learn to be really good at your job. Because if you're really good at outstanding at your job, then you become, you know, very likely to get a bigger job and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think has to change is the pace of learning.
Mm.
Because today, learning is very structured formally, where we shove people into a class at a specified time according to a schedule, and you know, and they're taught at a specific time and end at a specific time, and
I think KPI met lah,
right? So but learning has to be daily, it has to be throughout, it has to be when it's needed, and that's why I call this concept the just in time learning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've done that just in time for everyone, right? Supply chain,
yeah,
you know, it comes just in time, we've done all that, but we still haven't done that very well, I think, in the learning space. So imagine in the future, right, whenever you have a problem, right, suddenly a leadership or a learning nugget pops up on your mobile or your office device and gives you a 3-minute lesson on how to get specific work done more efficiently. Or when you begin another task, right, another one pops you to say, here's some tips on how to do this better, just like how the supply chain works, you know, the thing just comes when you need it, right? And I think today, right, we see this happening a lot in social media, in different places. That's why it's exciting, right? When we need a specific piece, pop, you know, we look and it comes to us, right? Learning should be the same. So part of it is using the technology we talked about in number two to enable such an infrastructure, to enable you to get specified information. I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, and you all know Joseph Tan, who
yes.
So Joseph and I do a cultural transformation thing, you know, across different companies, and we were doing something at Proton about a month ago or so. So with the leadership team, and Joseph was like, oh, I got to do this, and he was in his computer and he was struggling on something, right? It's a PowerPoint thing, right? So I'm like, Joseph, boom, bugger off. You know, I jumped in,
yeah,
and I said, watch me. So then I showed him how to do a little PowerPoint thing, and he's like, oh, so easy. Then I said, yeah, okay, you try it now. And then he did it. And I was like, oh, okay, I got it, you know. So it was exactly what I mean, right? When you, because what would happen is you would then search, you look, you know, it take you a long time to do this. No, ultimately you learn it, yeah. But it will take you a long time to do it. If you have just in time where something comes in and says, oh, here's the learning, and then you practice it, and you actually, because that's exactly when you need to do it, because when you're struggling with it, this happened. And I think we are at a point today where we can infrastructurally create such a process, because I look at my own team, right, and one of the things I'm going to experiment with is, hey, look, I know they go through certain obstacles and barriers, so we can start to map their experience and say, okay, here are probably obstacles, so when this happens, you know, pop, you know, this should pop up and say, hey, by the way, try this, or we can get a coach to pop up, or a manager can be alerted, oh, this person is going to do his first something, you know, and then the manager needs to know that, so it becomes a very much more integrated with business and with the results, and the employee also feels he won't feel it's learning, or she won't feel it's learning, she'll feel it's just part of the job, but really they learn and these secrets get embedded with no, you know, because previously it's like you got this SOP, you got all these things, somebody else takes it, go to another company, all your IP is gone, right? This one, it comes as you need it, right? And suddenly you're like, hey, I'm so skilled at this, but I just don't know how I ended up. How do I replicate that? You know, that's and this is this daily learning process that companies need to embed into their infrastructure.
All right. So final thoughts on this topic.
Yeah, I think the last part is that training must be aligned to business results. We cannot be in a silo. We cannot say, okay, this is training and here's the courses you need to take, but business results is completely different. I mean, think about 2017. I mean, 2016 was a challenging year. 2017 is going to be even more challenging, right? So we must correlate business results with the programs that we execute, and we cannot be in a silo. So can never be in a silo, right? So the other piece is that it's very interesting that Brandon Hall did a study that companies that did align learning and business priorities, more than 70% of them were able to improve company revenue. So there is a correlation between alignment of your targeted learning, you know, like how I said, and driving revenue and so on and so forth. The last part is that I must caution is that I know there'll be everyone excited to jump on the digital bandwagon. It's great because I think it's needed, because that's how we start to change things. But we must remember that people learn best by context. And this is the expertise phase, all right? So we have a classroom. You can use classroom for content, but you cannot use classroom for context. You can use digital learning for content, but you still have to create coaching infrastructure. You still have to create just-in-time learning. You know, you still have to create this infrastructure to become experts. Right. And that's part of our problem, you know. Why we say, hey, Malaysia, why none of our companies are world's best, right? It's because we get to a point where we're good, but not great. And greatness requires that extra touch, because it's a very big leap from good to great.
Yeah.
And that leap from good to great requires you to handhold folks, to teach, to learn, to create infrastructure that enables leaders to teach, leaders to learn, employees to teach, employees to learn, and getting embedded, you know, the secret sauce of your organization has to be taught on a daily continuous basis. And to me, that part needs to be that training leaders and HR leaders need to understand how to blend this so that you can build scale on that secret sauce. And that's always the problem, because you've got certain leaders that, oh, they drive the organization, but when they leave, that whole thing goes away because it's not institutionalized. And training or learning is a great way to enable this to be embedded into organizations, you know. So that's kind of my thoughts on this space.
All right. Thanks for being with us, and good to see you again in the new year. We'll definitely be hearing more from Roshan Tiran this year. And we've been talking about training as we know it may be obsolete and a waste of time. Roshan Tiran from Leadonomics. You've been listening to Race Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.